time for some Celtics talk, and to do that, we turn to our friend John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John.
Hey there. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing very well, thank you. Back from vacation, and boy, the first thing I saw when I went to check out the people who are going to be on the show this week is exciting news. You got a brand new book.
I do. It's a commemorative book celebrating the Celtics championship season. It's called Built Different. It's a paperback, soft cover, glossy, kind of picture heavy look back at the season, key moments, features, kind of pulling from my work at Boston Sports Journal and just kind of chronicling this championship season.
That's fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to ordering mine and having something to remember this great season by. In the meantime, maybe I should be saving my money so I could get involved in maybe buying the team. I'm going to need some high-rolling partners, though.
Okay, I'm in. You know, you didn't have to ask me twice. Yeah, Celtics are for sale. Hey, keep buying my book. Maybe I can get in on this.
There you go.
The Celtics are for sale. Whit Grosbeck was on CNBC yesterday, kind of explaining. Look, here's the basic gist. He doesn't sound like a guy who wants to sell, but his family, his dad, who is probably mostly the owner of the team, but Wick is the face of the Grosbeck ownership side of the team. They're selling for family estate planning purposes. And according to Wick, 51% of the team is being sold relatively soon. And the 49% of the team is going to take about 4 years or so, which tells me that they might have a plan in place for that 51%. And I think some of the current owners might be part of the new ownership group as well.
Well, that would be exciting. Are we talking about, is it Steve, is it Paliuka?
Yeah, so the way, and I'm just reading the tea leaves here. Mm. I don't have any inside information. But when you put a team up for sale and you make this announcement, that's, you don't know how it's going to go unless you do. And the Celtics sound like a team that does. And it doesn't seem to be much certainty. If they know this, there's going to be a part of the sale that closes within, you know, the next few months. That's not like Jeff Bezos. I mean, unless they reached out personally to one of these mega billionaires, it kind of caught everybody by surprise. And if you don't have a bidding process for that, then you must have a plan for how that's going to go. Because otherwise, how do you know that this thing's going to close in a few months? So I believe that the 51% will probably be sold to a Pagliuca-led group of the current owners. So Boston Basketball Partners LLC owns the Celtics. 51% of that will probably, in my opinion, be sold to a Steve Pagliuca-led company, LLC, whatever, that involves a lot of the same people. And in 4 years, that remaining 49% that currently belongs to Pagliuca and others will be sold off to the highest bidder. I believe some of that sale will be used to facilitate their current sale, which is why the second closing is going to be 4 years from now. How else would they know that another closing is going to take 4 years from now? The timeline is too specific to me, Rich. So I think there's a specific plan in place. Grosbeck's going to be in charge or the face of the ownership group for another 4 years. And then at that point, I think Pagliuca takes over and continuity holds in Boston.
Excellent. John Corrales with us here on Downtown. In the meantime, at a slightly lower level of finances, they have been very efficient about getting contracts taken care of and keeping this group together.
Yeah, 13 of the 14 players under contract were here last season. Not bad for a championship team.
Yeah.
Now, they also kind of had no choice. They didn't have a lot of tools at their disposal. I think under previous collective bargaining agreements, that wouldn't have been the case. There still would have been a lot of continuity. But they would have had a mid-level exception that they could have brought in some additional help, and they would have had a trade exception that maybe they could have used to bring in somebody. But they had none of those tools at their disposal because of the new collective bargaining agreement. And so continuity, again, is the name of the game. And bringing back basically everybody. And the 14th player that wasn't here last year was Baylor Shireman, who was their draft pick. And so I feel like they're going to lean on their kind of the guys, the familiarity with one another to get back and kind of just run it back. And you know, they can hit the ground running in training camp, which is great because when you have a short turnaround, you can get everybody in. You know, everybody knows the terminology. It's not a big secret. Everybody's familiar with one another. So they can go and have their fun over the course of the summer and then still come to camp and feel pretty good about where they are.
Everybody seems to know their role on this team. So with that in mind, does the summer league, will that have any impact on playing time going forward?
No. I mean, I think summer league is more just for getting some guys acclimated to their, you know, what their roles are, terminology again, like getting Anton Watson, their second round pick, familiar with what he's supposed to be doing, getting Baylor Shireman some looks, just kind of see where they are and get them to learn what they're supposed to be doing moving forward. I don't think that's going to impact playing time. But, you know, they've got guys like Jaden Springer and Nehemiah Shkata and, you know, Jordan Walsh. And so I say all that, but if those guys show big strides in summer league, then that could be a boost. That could be something that says, okay, hey, that's something to build on maybe as we head into training camp. Okay, let's have a look at maybe Jordan Walsh shows something that's okay. We feel better about maybe throwing him in where we wouldn't have before. So I don't think it's going to impact playing time, but certainly if one of those guys shows a real kind of progression, then maybe they'll make enough of an impact to get a few extra minutes in the preseason and make their mark.
Boston fans love it when guys play hard and love it when guys appreciate being there. And boy, with that in mind, the love for Kristaps Porzingis certainly seems justified, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but Kristaps is like, I mean, this guy, I've never seen a person smile. People brought up Kemba Walker when I mentioned him. Okay, so he smiles as much as Kemba Walker did when Kemba was in Boston. That's a pretty high bar. People in Boston love Porzingis. You know, he's the Celtics going to have to come up with, you know, a couple of months of figuring out how to get by, and they'll lean on what they got this past season. But you know, he's probably going to be out until maybe Christmas. But you know, the love for Porzingis is off the charts. Him rolling through the parade with that championship belt. You know, that's going to be one of those kind of like when you go back iconic type of things that you remember from these championship parades. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see a guy kind of go through the arc that he's gone through, starting in New York, you know, having these expectations, understanding what he needs to do to actually be part of a successful team, accepting that role and just being so joyful in that role and then having it all pay off in a championship. I think this has just been a fun year. I've certainly enjoyed being around Porzingis all season long and just like talking to a guy about like just coffee. He just loves coffee. He loves cars. he gets his joy from the simple things in life. He just seems like a really good dude and a happy person. Yeah. And couldn't be happier for him. And I think people around New England feel the same way.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, Locked On Celtics podcast. You can order John's brand new book by going to triumphbooks.com/Celtics win. John, great talking with you as always, and we'll check in again next week.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
You got it. John Corrales on Downtown.